ring of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Our hymns this morning are hymns number 571, 580, 628, 590, 420, and 918. Pastor Mark Nevers' sermon today is "Whoever Believes Has Eternal Life," taken from John 3, 14 through 17. Judy Twofold is playing the piano. We welcome you to sing with us. We sing our opening hymn, "God So Loved the World That He Gave."
Good morning. Welcome to Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs. Happy to have you in worship with us, either in person or over the radio. We do welcome also the preschool through second grade choir from St. Paul's Lutheran School in Concordia to be with us today. We join together in our hymn of invocation. It is hymn 571, "God Loved the World So That He Gave," in 571.
Spirit.
Amen.
if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We join together in the responsive speaking of the intro from Psalm 105. It's printed in your service folder. He remembers his covenant forever. Seek the Lord and his strength.
Seek his presence continually.
Remember the wondrous works that he has done.
His miracles and judgments he uttered.
O offspring of Abraham, his servant.
Children of Jacob, his chosen
ones. He is the Lord our God.
His judgments are in all the earth.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. He remembers his covenant forever.
The word that he commanded for 1,000 generations.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray the collect of the day. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. We welcome forward the children of St. Paul's Grade School for their choir.
Thank you.
And thank you, children, for your anthem this morning. It was wonderful. The Old Testament reading appointed for this second Sunday in Lent is recorded in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there. He built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is recorded in the fourth chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans in the New Testament. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, "I have made you the father of many nations," in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. This is the word of the Lord. We stand and join in the singing of the verse for Lent and the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you,
Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. We join together in the hymn of the day. It is hymn 580. The gospel shows the Father's grace, hymn 580.
mercy, and peace be yours from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our suffering, dying, and rising Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon meditation is the last part of our gospel reading from John chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. This gospel reading contains some of the most familiar words in the Bible. In John 3:16, we see the sign held up at sporting events. It says, John 3:16. Whether or not you have many Bible passages memorized, I expect that you do know this one very well. In the past, my 8th grade confirmation students have asked for this verse to be their confirmation verse. And the mean old pastor that I am will not allow that to happen, because I think they are just asking for it because they already have it memorized. And they don't want to have to memorize a different passage for their confirmation verse. But as well known as these words are to us, we are probably just as unfamiliar with the words that surround John 3:16. Yet these accompanying verses are the ones that make Jesus' point for us. We are to look to Jesus in order to be saved. In speaking to the Pharisee Nicodemus in our text, Jesus takes him back to an event in the history of God's people that happened 1,500 years earlier. It is recorded for us in the biblical book of Numbers, chapter 21. The Israelites, under the leadership of Moses, are in their 40 years of wilderness wandering. And as they were accustomed to do, these people grumbled. They moaned, they whined, and they complained against both Moses and against God. Why did you take us out of Egypt? Why do we have to be out here in this desert? We're gonna die here. There is no bread, and there is no water. We don't like the food that God is giving us. Well, you get the idea. And finally, God has had enough. He says, in essence, you don't like how I have been taking care of you? Fine. You are now on your own. And poisonous snakes slither into the camp of the Israelites. But I am of the opinion that this wasn't God's miracle. For you see, these people are in a barren and deserted wilderness, much like the southwestern part of our United States. And what do we find plenty of in those regions? Nasty critters like rattlesnakes. Those places are lousy with them. I think the real miracle here is that God has been sparing his people from these snakes the whole time they have been in the wilderness. He has been keeping these poisonous creatures away from his people, the Israelites. But now, after their whining and complaining, God withdraws his protecting hand, and the snakes do their thing. They bite people with their poisonous venom, and many of the Israelites die. Well, there's nothing like a tragedy that wakes us up to our need for God. The Israelites come to their senses, and they come to Moses with this request. Moses, we shouldn't have spoken out against God and against you. Pray to God that he will take these snakes away from us. Here is an example of God answering prayer in a way better than we pray it. For God does not take those snakes away. But what if he had? What if God had taken the snakes away from his people? Well, pretty soon those very same people would have forgotten their trouble. And again, they would have started complaining against God.
So God tells Moses to do this instead. Make a bronze snake and put it up on a pole very high in the middle of the camp. And anyone bitten then by a poisonous snake only has to look at the bronze snake on the pole to be healed, cured, and to live. It would really be that simple. Yet we in our human nature don't really like simple. Either we want to do nothing at all, like have those snakes taken away from us, or we want to do just enough that we get the credit for it ourselves. I expect that some of those Israelites were skeptical. Look at a snake on a pole? How silly. What good is that going to do for me? So God's command becomes a test of faith for them. Will they listen to his word? And those who did so lived. But those who didn't listen to God's word, either they didn't want to do what little he told them to do, or they figured they needed to do something more, well, they did their own thing. They died. Well, what happened with Moses, the Israelites, and the snakes in Numbers chapter 21 was really just a preview, a sign of the things to come. And here in this passage from John chapter 3, Jesus lets us know what the fulfillment of this sign will be. So must the Son of Man be lifted up. The Son of Man is a title that Jesus uses for himself. Jesus will be lifted up as the bronze snake was, and Jesus will be placed high upon a pole, that is, the cross. Why does Jesus need to be there? Because we need him to be there. We have been snake bit, and we are dying. No, we're not bitten by a poisonous, slithering animal on the ground, but we have been bitten by the ancient enemy of God and his people, the devil. He has bitten us with the deadly venom of our sin and our selfishness. So why doesn't God just take away that serpentine devil and the venom of our sin? Because we soon would forget about God. Or we would complain about God. Or we would think that we don't need God. Here is a prime example of how God does not remove our problem, but that he does give us a way out of our spiritually critical condition. God gives us his own eternal Son as a sacrifice. We now look to Jesus upon the cross, and in doing so, we have eternal life. Skeptics will say, that's silly. What good is that going to do? I'm not going to do it. Or they will say, that is just too simple. Or they will say, I can save myself by my own works just fine, thank you. But for those who do what God says, who take advantage of what it is God gives us, we have a life that lasts forever. But what has God given us? It is his own Son. If you have a Bible that puts the words of Jesus in red letters, the paragraph that begins with verse 16 probably will be in red. But there is discussion among Bible scholars as to whether the words of verse 16 and following are ones that Jesus spoke as part of his conversation with Nicodemus, or if they are an explanation of what Jesus had said, written by the gospel writer John. Well, to this, our German ancestors would say, Mox nix. In other words, there is no difference. For either way, they are the inspired words of God for us to cherish as being his precious promise of our salvation. The holy, eternal, just, and all-powerful God has sent his Son into this world, but not to condemn the world. Oh, to be sure, God has reason to condemn the world. That reason is our sinful rejection of him. God has the power to condemn the world, and he will indeed ultimately bring this world to its end. But that is not the mission of God's Son on earth. He came to save the world. In Jesus, we have God's universal offer of salvation. God wants all the people he created to be with him in a loving, living, and lasting relationship. Yet God's offer of salvation to all people is one that only can be received through faith. Notice in both verses 15 and 16 those conditional phrases. Whoever believes in him will have eternal life. God's love for the world is universal. Jesus' death upon the cross is for all people. But unfortunately, not all will receive God's salvation. Some will find a reason not to look to Jesus, the Son of Man, lifted up on the cross for their forgiveness. They will think that looking to Jesus is unnecessary for them, that they do not need him to be their Savior. Others will look down upon faith in Jesus as just being too simple, that there must be something that they have to do to earn salvation. But those whom the Holy Spirit brings to faith in Jesus through the means of God's Word and his sacraments will see in Jesus our Savior from sin. We do look to Jesus upon the cross, and we see that there is where God has placed our salvation. Once lifted upon the cross to suffer and die, Jesus now is lifted up and exalted by his resurrection from the dead and by his ascension to the right hand of his heavenly Father in power and glory. It is in Jesus, lifted up on the cross and exalted into resurrected glory, that we have life with our God, both now and forever. To God alone be all of the glory. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in our Lord and in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue as we join together in the common confession of our Christian faith. We use the words of the Nicene Creed. They are printed for us in our worship folder. I invite you to stand.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In our prayer of the church, we remember those listed for us in our worship folder. We add to that list for healing and comfort, Randy and Lori Johnson. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their need. O God, you have graciously given us a new birth in the waters of holy baptism.
Sustain our faith in you and turn us from the old things of the flesh, that we would fix our eyes on the Son of Man through faith. Bless the ministries of those who are reaching out into the world through the mission agencies of the church with the gospel of Jesus, that believing in him, many others may have eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Lord, your Son Jesus came to teach us the way of truth. Sustain all pastors in this sacred calling. Give them patience to teach the faith to all who question the way of salvation, and raise up teachers of righteousness in every generation. We trust that your Holy Spirit is leading Pastor John Engvall to a decision on Emmanuel's call for him to be our next pastor, a decision that will be for the good of both congregations, his own pastoral ministry, and to your glory. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, you made your servant Abraham the father of us all through faith, and you have given all fathers the calling of Abraham to hand down the gospel of Christ. Fill their hearts with the words of Christ, and remember them according to your great mercy. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you have established rulers and earthly authorities to protect us. Bless our president, our governor, the Congress of the United States, the legislature of this state, and all who make, administer, and judge our laws. With the recent military action in the Middle East, we pray for all those who serve our nation, armed forces, for our military members, including Drake and McKenna, and civilians of all the countries involved, that they may be protected. We also remember the service of law enforcement officers, firefighters, emergency responders, and healthcare personnel. Help them all to preserve our safety and our liberty, and use its gift wisely in the pursuit of justice and for the welfare of all people. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you sent forth your Son to heal and give everlasting life. By your word and spirit, lift up your people from their sorrows. Heal them according to your gracious will, and deliver them from the pain of death to eternal life. Hear us, we pray, especially for Evelyn, Nolan, Lindsay, Bryce, Brandy, Avery, Jeff, Debbie, Reverend Hagen, Gail, Alan, David, Danny, Inez, Mary Lou, Charlotte, Kathy, Elliot, Reverend Walt, Rhonda, Ron, Randy, and Lori. Sustain them in their afflictions, comfort them in the hour of death, and raise up the dead according to your gracious promise. Lord, in your mercy, righteous Lord, Nicodemus was led by the word of Jesus to the cross, and from the cross he received the body of Jesus. Grant us faith like his, to trust your word and receive Christ's body and blood in the holy sacrament for our forgiveness, life, and salvation. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord, give us faith that in whatever circumstances of life we find ourselves, and that we may delight in your saving promises, delivered through the ages and kept in Christ our Savior. Equip Janet, Norma, Walter, Millie, Dolores, Dorothy, Carol, Phyllis with your Holy Spirit, that they would remain bold and unwavering witnesses of our Savior Jesus, carrying his name within them and sharing it with those whom you place into their lives. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and who now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Amen. You may be seated. We continue our worship with the gathering of our offerings.
stand and join together in the singing of the offertory. Of the sacrament. It begins for us on page 160 of our hymnals, or you may follow along in your service folder. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. Good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us all to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night on which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Now may this true body and true blood of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith and the life everlasting. Go now in God's peace. Amen. We stand as we join in the singing of the Nunc Dimittis. God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated as we sing our hymn to depart, hymn 918, Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer, hymn 918.